Welcome to the fusion of golf, music, sports, and entertainment. Golf Talk America with Tim Matthews and Frank Bassett. Take it away, boys.
Hello once again, everybody. Welcome to Golf Talk America. Tim Matthews with you today, and this is U.S. Open week. Everybody, the big boys are at the big course at Wingfoot Golf Club, just north of Manhattan, outside of New York City, and it should be a very, very exciting and challenging week for the guys because Wingfoot is notorious for playing very, very tough in U.S. Opens, and we'll see if this week is the same thing, and we'll find out in a few days, but all the drama is taking place right now at Wingfoot, so we'll talk about what's going on for the U.S. Open. We also have Spider Miller, former Walker Cup captain and player, that's be joining us. He's played in some U.S. Opens, played in Masters as well, and a lot of information coming from Spider. He's been in golf his entire life, and so it'll be exciting and fun to talk with Spider. Frank Bassett, normally in our Nashville studios, and in past, I guess, pre-COVID times, we actually would have Frank on the road. But not lately. He hasn't been on the road very much, like a lot of us. But finally, he got to get outside of Nashville, and he is now at the French Lick Resort with our good friend Brendan Sweeney. And we'll be talking a little bit about French Lick Resort as well. But Frank, so far so good at French Lick. You've been there a couple of days. You already played a round of golf yesterday, right?
I did. Got in yesterday. Hello, Tim. How are you today?
Good.
To talk to you again. Good to be on the road.
Good
to be back at my second home, which is the French Lick Resort. We are up in the mansion, overlooking the Pete Dye course, second highest point in Indiana, and we're looking over the 18th green. It's the course looks immaculate. It's perfect. Got here yesterday, immediately straight out on the golf course to the Donald Ross course. It was in perfect condition, and Brendan Sweeney picked me up in a golf cart and some adult beverages, and so we played until about 7:30 last night, then went to dinner at 1875 Steakhouse. And so if I'm fuzzy today, it's not Zeller, it's Fuzzy Frank.
It's always good to see those bloodshot eyes from Frank Bassett.
Oh, my gosh. Brendan, thank you for having us up.
Don't shoot till you see
this.
This
is great.
Yeah. I think Frank would take a bullet right now. Tim, good to hear from you, buddy. It's been a long time, and we're slowly getting back to it. We've had an interesting run here at the resort with all the COVID restrictions, but the golf side of French Lick is killing it. We lost a lot of association business at the beginning of the year, but we've picked it up with our daily fee business. The golf courses are in fabulous shape, and we have record-breaking crowds at the Pete Dye course as well as the Donald Ross course. So if you want to jump in a car, you know, we're a six-hour drive from Atlanta, Milwaukee, three from St. Louis and three from Cincinnati. We're smack dab in the middle of the United States.
So. And everything's open. Everything's open. The West Baden Springs Hotel.
Under restrictions. I mean, we have restrictions on capacity of hotels and whatnot, but it's exciting. And we're sitting here with, they're in U.S. Open week in September. We have football, we have a casino, we have a sports book.
I
cannot gamble because I'm part of the Indiana Gaming Commission.
Is that why you slid me the $3,000 last night?
Don't even go there.
Don't even say that.
I'm just kidding. Kidding.
Yes.
Kidding.
And,
kidding.
Put it all on black. Thank you. Red, I mean. Well, did it again.
Anyway, no, it's good to be here, Tim. I wish you were up here with us. We're going to be playing a little golf. The Friars organization will be here this week playing their annual
championship
here at the French Lick Resort. They do the Pete Dye, the Donald Ross, and then back to the Pete Dye for the final round.
And then followed up with a shootout on Sunday. So
yeah.
This is a golf course with a golf club without a golf course. So it's a band of gypsies that travel around the United States and play various places. They played Valhalla earlier this week, which is an hour away in Louisville, and now they're coming over here. So we're looking forward to it. A bunch of great guys. Rule number one is you can't be a butthole to join.
That's exactly
and,
what they say.
If you ask around who's being a butthole, chances are it's probably you. So, and that's about it. But we're looking forward to talking to my good buddy Spider Miller here in a few. He's a great guy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Great ambassador to golf, mid-am champ, Cup champion.
In 2017, you paired me with Spider Miller here.
No, it was 2014.
Oh, it was 2014. Okay, 2014.
We had the USGA Men's State Team Championship up here, which Texas won.
That's right.
And Spider is the ambassador.
So, Tim, Sweeney pairs me with a man who's played in Masters and U.S. Opens, mid-am champion, Walker Cup captain, and he's about to go to Scotland to play the Walker Cup and take his team. Brendan pairs me with him, and I have the singular worst round of golf I've ever had.
Until yesterday.
No. Yesterday I had some great shots. I've got a little problem
right
with my wedges right now.
Was Spider to blame for your bad round?
No, it wasn't. It was me. I changed clubs the day before I came up.
Glenn
here.
Levitt.
Wasn't Spider, it was Glenn.
Yeah,
well, that other guy.
But I was drinking Budweiser that day, which Spider likes. So we'll talk to him more about that. In fact, we ought to probably get him on the air with us, you know?
Okay, yeah, well, we got time. He's been around. He's patient. We're good. How about, are you guys excited about this being U.S. Open week? I mean, I know we're excited to be a French Lick, but
absolutely.
Watching a lot
hugely.
Of it? Yeah,
it is.
Yeah, okay.
It is by far my favorite golf tournament to
I'm just
watch
enjoying looking
TV.
At the grass. It's, in some cases, a foot long. I mean,
well, my first experience, I grew up in Medina, Illinois. I remember the 1975 U.S. Open at Medina. Lou Gramm wins it in a playoff. It was great. It was a block away from my house. And I was just, the gate was right there. We were sneaking in there all the time. It was a blast. Absolute blast. So
yeah. U.S. Opens are special. And Wingfoot is very special, too. This is the sixth time that Wingfoot has hosted it. And it's been a monster almost every other time that it has been hosted. So including the year before you just referenced there in 74, the massacre at Wingfoot is what they're calling it. And guys have finished well over par and won the tournament. And that's we'll see. Yeah, we'll see how it plays out this week at Wingfoot. But we'll talk a little bit about that. Yeah, you're right. We got Spider Miller hanging by, and a lot of things we want to talk to Spider about. Have either of you guys ever played Wingfoot? I wonder if Spider has. We'll find out.
Spider definitely has.
Either of you guys?
No.
Have either of you guys? No, neither?
That would be a no for me. No.
Yeah.
This club's restricted.
This club's members only.
I would never be a member of a club that would have me as a member.
That's exactly right.
Thus, the Flyers Club will be here today. Oh, we already mentioned
yeah?
that.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah, we did. We mentioned that.
A little redundancy going on here.
All right, well, let's take a quick break, and we will talk with Spider Miller. He's got a wealth of knowledge as far as the golf game goes and all kinds of great stories to tell. So stick around. You're listening to Golf Talk America, and we'll come back with Spider Miller right after this. And welcome back to Golf Talk America. Tim Matthews in the Dallas studios, and of course Frank Bassett and Brendan Sweeney joining him at the French Lick Resort in French Lick, Indiana. And we'll talk a lot more about what's going on at the resort and what's happening in Indiana, Hoosier National Forest, and on that Brendan will make very clear to us what's happening there. But in the meantime, let's introduce our guest today, Spider Miller. He's been captain and player for multiple Walker Cup teams and played in the Masters, played in U.S. Opens. This, of course, is U.S. Open week, and all the big boys playing at Wingfoot Golf Club just outside of New York City, and he joins us now. Spider, thank you so much for being with us. How are you doing today?
I'm doing good, Tim, and thank you for having me on the show. Since I'm an old ex officio Walker Cup captain, it's nice that you remembered the old boy.
Always nice to be remembered.
You know, I offered, Tim, I offered Spider when right before he was going over to Scotland with his team, the Walker Cup team. He had played golf with me that day here at French Lick. And I said, would you like for me to come over and give an inspirational speech to your team before their first round of play? And Spider said, that would be a no, Frank.
And then he had, the best advice he gave you was take two weeks off and quit.
And quit. Worst, I played so bad. Poor Spider was so nice, and I was just hacking up the golf course. It was terrible.
Hey, Spider, what does it mean as a Walker Cup captain to see some of your kids, young men, like Cameron Champ and Maverick and Colin, Doc Redmond, some of the guys that you picked out when they were younger, to see them performing at this level?
Yeah, I will tell you, the guys that are playing well are no surprise. My biggest surprise is maybe one other player who has struggled a little bit, but I still expect that some point we will hear from him, and that's Norman Jeong. But Colin and Scotty and Maverick and Doug Gim and Doc, they are no surprise. And then on my first team, I had Bryson, and he's doing good, and none of it surprised me.
That's awesome. But when you played at the age, tender age of 49 back in, 99, you know, you had Matt Kuchar, Bryce Mulder, couple other guys are still like clipping it out on the tour.
Jonathan Bird, yeah.
Yep, yep, yep. And then it's just fabulous. But can you talk about how the amateurs perform in the U.S. Open? I mean, what does it mean to be an amateur playing at this level?
Well, you know, on my last team, Scotty Scheffler and Cam Champ, let's see, that was in Wisconsin. They battled it out for low amateur spot. And as I recall, Scotty passed Cam low amateur right on the last hole, I believe. But, you know, it's amazing how many amateurs make it every year. Now, this year is a little different because of the exemptions, but and I didn't count the number of amateurs, but when they qualify, it's amazing how many amateurs qualify, and they do it the old-fashioned way. They go through three stages, and it's amazing. You always see some names pop up. I remember when Bo Hostler qualified, and he was 16 years old. First time I've ever heard of old Bo, and he was on my first team. But things like that happen, and this year not likely to discover the kids that are exempt are all well known now. So it's a great part of the amateur.
Well, these kids that are coming out now, they have the mental game, they have the physical game, but they're thinking like champions. And that has a lot to do with, you know, maybe a mentor like you out there.
Well, I take no credit for anything other than I made sure that they had plenty to eat and very little to drink of my product.
Of your product.
until after the competition. After the competition, we got into my product. But no, those guys, there was not much I could do for them. They're all well-trained. They have their game, and all they had to do was be ready to play. And my last team was very much ready to play.
Tim, you intimately know, not intimately, you know very well Bryson DeChambeau. I'd like to get y'all's read, yours and Spider's read, on what he's done. I mean, good Lord, the boy cannot put the fork down, you know.
In a good way. I mean, it's obviously a plan that they undertook a year ago, and so far it seems to be paying dividends that he's bulked up 40-plus pounds and decided that he wanted to literally dominate golf courses with the power game. And we all know back when he was at SMU, and I got to know him a little bit, he certainly won the NCAAs and he won a U.S. Amateur. So he had the game. We all know about that. But he decided that he had to really, really get strong and get to the point where he could cut dog legs and learn from some of the best long drivers on the planet. So, yeah, Spider, good question for guys. Even you go back even to the 90s, you go back 20 years or 25 years, the way that guys are playing the golf courses now, it's a bit of a different game. And the power game has certainly, it's always been in vogue and everybody's liked the power game. But now you're seeing guys quite literally eating their way and working out their way to a whole different kind of a golf game.
Yeah, it used to be in my playing days, if a guy outdrove you 15 yards, that was a lot. You know, that was a lot. And nowadays, you know, you can see Bryson can outdrive players 80, 90 yards on tour players.
90 yards. That's crazy.
That's just nuts.
Stuff like that. Well, he carries a bunker, hits the downside of a bunker complex. He gets the roll. The other guy hits into the upslope. You know how the story goes. And, yeah. It's a huge advantage if you can carry all the fairway bunkers on certain doglegs.
Have you been out to Wingfoot before, Spider?
Yeah, you know, I used to play in Wingfoot in a two-man team competition. that was back when they had all these ornamental trees all over the fairway. And you could be in the edge of the fairway and be restricted. And I know they've taken all of them out. So, and I don't know how much they've lengthened. It was way long for me when I played in those days. That would have been in the 90s. And Fuzzy won there when he beat Norman. That may have been the hardest golf course I'd ever seen because those ornamental trees were still everywhere. And I don't know how many they've taken out, but I know they've taken most all of them out.
What do you recall from that 84 slugfest with Fuzzy?
Well, I remember the playoff, you know, Fuzz drubbed him. Fuzz put the hammer down. I think he won by, you can tell me, but he won by six, maybe more strokes. And it was really, he got out of the box and never looked back. And I know Fuzz thought he was going to be beaten, but he had when he waved the towel at Norman, he thought Norman was a shot better than he was. And when they end up tied, I was proud of Fuzz. That was a great performance.
He got him by eight. Fuzzy was three under. Norman was five over.
Yeah, and one of the biggest travesties in golf is that Fuzzy is not in the Hall of Fame. It's sad.
It's ridiculous. It's
sad testament to the people who are involved. I'm ashamed of them all. They should have Fuzzy Zeller in the Hall of Fame, and it's sickening. And sad testament. A lot of assholes.
Yep.
Well, what's holding them back?
The people who vote. Look into it.
I will. Yeah, maybe we get Tom Bendelow on there too.
Yeah, you think he was too out? He was too outspoken, Spider. You're saying he was just not the etiquette that they would normally want or something. Is that what you're saying?
I'm not. I'm just saying for whatever reason, these people who vote must have some reason, but his credentials speak for themselves. He won two majors, and they have people in there who have only won one major.
Yep, sure. Yeah. And hey, what an ambassador for the game. And I mean, he was an incredible ambassador. And you're good friends with Fuzzy, obviously.
I am.
I know him, not like you know him. I know him a little bit and have been around him a bunch. And he's one of the greatest guys out there. So you're right. It's a travesty that he is not in the Hall of Fame. It's a travesty.
He won a Ryder Cup?
Yeah. I mean, come on.
Exactly. You know? He's done it all. He should have been Ryder Cup captain, and they pass him over for that. Okay. But that, you know, why don't they grow up and put him in the Hall of Fame? And it's sad that they don't. And I don't know that I point a finger at any person, but there are a number of people who vote. You'd have to look at the process. But I know guys like Nick Price fully support him. Nick proposes him every year. And I don't know what happens in the process, but for whatever reason, they've decided they're not going to do it. I wish they would.
I'm with you, buddy.
It might be politics, you know. I mean, there's politics and a little bit of everything. So maybe that's part of it. We're joined by Spider Miller, by the way, whose previous career as a great amateur golfer, Walker Cup player, Walker Cup captain as well. And as an amateur, Spider, I'm curious because there are a couple of good amateurs that are playing, a number of good amateurs playing at the U.S. Open, and Davis Thompson, Sandy Scott, just to name a couple. And the pressure. As an amateur playing with all these seasoned veterans, in their cases, you're playing with Dustin Johnson, top players in the world, and Tiger Woods and whoever are on the field with you. Is there a build-up pressure because you feel like I'm not maybe qualified or I'm kind of over my head? Or is there less pressure because you're going, hey, I'm in the U.S. Open. I haven't really even started my professional career yet. I'm still in college or whatever. Which way do you think it leans if you're an amateur playing in the U.S. Open?
Well, I think the guys that play now, I think they expect to make a U.S. Open. I think they expect that at some point in their career they will do this, and I think they're prepared, and it's no surprise to me that a number of them make the cut, and it's no surprise that they play well. And kids are better earlier every year from their training and as juniors and all the experience they have and the USGA and the IGA and all the different associations that they get to play in. They have a Junior Ryder Cup and you name it. So they're all prepared. They're all good kids too. I can tell you that the players that I had on my two Walker Cup teams were all to a person, nice young men. Their parents were nice. I had no problems at all with any of them.
That's well spoken.
Spider, for God's sakes.
If we had been on the Walker Cup team, he couldn't say that. So,
well, there's no chance in hell you'll ever be on a Walker Cup team, Frank.
No. You know, when you have to replace your hosels before you replace the grips, you know you're in trouble. So,
and our window has closed.
So, Spider, what's the day-to-day going for you now? Are you heading down to Florida soon? Are you going to be teeing it up or...
No, I go down. I'll head down. Seminole will open last weekend in October. I intend to be there for opening day. And And how long I stay, I don't know, but I intend to be there opening day and see a lot of my pals. And we've made some changes to the course, although most of them were already made the prior year. But always good to get down there and see my buddies.
Well, that golf course on TV for the first time ever with the matches, I've never been on that golf course. It was showing extremely well on TV. What a gorgeous layout that is. Wow.
Yeah, it's great. And the changes we've made were made by Cork Crenshaw. And we lengthened the golf course for the Walker Cup as much as we could. And there'll be some holes that, depending on the wind actually defends the golf course. If we have normal winds of, a windy day there is 15 to 25 knots. Calm day is 5 to 10 knots.
Yeah.
So when we have the Walker Cup there in May, if we have 15 to 20 knots of wind, that golf will be plenty for all of them.
Yeah, I hit a real high ball when I play in Florida, and I lived in Florida a lot of years there at Sawgrass, and I had to relearn to get that ball down because it's just Florida golf is tough when it's windy.
Yeah, and that wind down there blows, as you know. It seems like it never quits. But so that's our hope, and if we have a calm day, which is unusual, but it's possible, then the course will still be all the challenge all the guys want if they short side themselves and various things on a Donald Ross course where we'll have the greens probably rolling at, I don't know, 12 and a half or
wow.
so.
Wow, that's crazy. Is that going to be televised?
Yeah, yes.
Awesome.
I don't have the date. It's like May 8th or 9th. It's the first time we played it in May in a number of years, We needed to because of hurricane season.
Yes.
A traditional date would have been the middle of September, which is, you know, 2-3 weeks into the hurricane season. So, plus our course is the best in the spring. You know, it's generally good, hard, firm, and fast, and things have dried out. And the club is all excited about having it. I am as well.
Well, Spider, let me ask you this. An anomaly. There's a ripple in the force. It's called November in Augusta. What are your feelings on this?
Well, I applaud Augusta for having the tournament in this calendar year. It would seem odd that you wouldn't have a champion for 2020. So I think they're doing the right thing. Have good leadership down there, and it's a great tournament. It'll be great viewing.
So the weather, of course, the wind turns totally around, doesn't it, in November in that part of Georgia?
You know, I can't answer that.
Tim?
Don't know.
Tim may know.
I know the weather. My guess is, all in all, the weather will be better. I know when they play the tournament in April, they're playing on overseeded Bermuda.
Yes.
So in November, I'm guessing, though, they probably... I don't know if they'll overseed or not. That's interesting. I don't know.
Well, Tim hates weather people, so he probably doesn't have an answer for this since Tim's been a sportscaster all his life.
There's a high-pressure system in November that hangs over the Georgia area that pushes outward.
The high pressure would be the challenge to win at Augusta. It's going to be beautiful. You know, of course, they'll have it perfect for TV. You just won't have the azaleas blooming. But
I say we go down there, hang outside the gate, just live at T-Bones for 4 days.
Yeah, we've already been invited to Azalea House to just hang out in the hospitality house and watch it on TV.
Can you write a note to my wife?
She already knows my shtick.
Yeah.
Brennan, what we can do, too, is we could sneak into the trunk of cars like you did back in high school. Medina, when you're trying to go to a drive-in theater and you got your six friends all in the trunk, we could do that.
That'd be the Sky High Drive-In in Addison, Illinois.
I did that at Seminole and got caught at the gate. So
we could get into Augusta. We could do this, guys.
Yeah,
it's
right.
Be a good plan. Yeah, I like this. It's all coming together. Hey, we're joined by Spider Miller again. Great amateur player, great career as Walker Cup captain and Walker Cup player. And a couple of guys I want to mention to you, Spider, and get your opinion for the Open this year. going on at Wingfoot is one, Tiger Woods, who's always in the conversation, but what do you think about Tiger's lack of play this year? Hasn't been physically able to play some. We certainly know because of COVID, a lot of guys haven't been able to play an awful lot, but can he turn it on with the lack of playing that he's had, be able to play at such a great golf course as Wingfoot? I believe his numbers at Wingfoot are not much better than anybody else's as far as his rounds of golf and all being over par. And secondly, the Jordan Spieth dilemma that we talk about probably an awful lot on this show, but just the downhill spiral kind of that doesn't seem to be stopping anytime soon with him getting back to being one of the top players. He certainly has a name recognition, and people like watching Spieth. They really like the guy and everything. But, boy, his world ranking and everything else has just kind of cratered in the last two or three years. And I don't know if there's any relief in sight. What do you think about both those guys?
Well, I would say, in case, you never bet against him. He can arise to the occasion. He's certainly done it more than everyone else, and maybe it takes a major to get his heart rate up to get excited to play. So, you know, I'm not sure how he plays coming into the tournament has any bearing. In Jordan's case, I don't follow him that much. He was on the team ahead of on Jimmy Holtgreave's team, but I remember when I went to my first college event as captain, and it was a year right at the very beginning, I asked the kids on the putting green who was the best putter, and every one of them said, well, Jordan is if he's here. So I don't know if his putting is off, but certainly he, on the tour, he was the best putter.
You think he's got too many people in his head?
I think he's trying to get length, and when you start pushing for more length, why change what you've done? He had a Cinderella season. Good Lord, he was the heir apparent to Tiger Woods at the time. So I don't know. I will not speak for Jordan Spieth. We know him. He's a friend of this show's, and we're friends of his foundation. But gosh almighty, I want to see him back. I really, really do.
Yeah, I do too. I like Jordan. He handles himself great. He's a great role model for the kids. And I know his coach. I met him at Brook Hollow. Jordan was probably 4 or 5 years old. And give me his coach's name. Help me.
Cameron
out,
McCormick.
Cameron, yeah.
Cam McCormick. He was trying to teach my son-in-law how to chip. I told him, I said, man, if you teach this kid how to chip, you'll be teacher of the year.
I need him. I need him now.
People out there are probably 8 years old.
Oh, let me get on a personal level here. I had a couple of things happen to me yesterday, Spider, on the golf course with Sweeney. Well, we were not gambling, of course.
Oh, I'd say
with
that.
With like a 48 degree and a 52 degree that went dead right.
No, you had a 52 degree temperature wise kettle one on rocks there.
Yeah, but like I say, I had a case of the Hazels yesterday. So what's your first fix for a case of the Hazels?
Well, I'd get into the kettle one a little heavier.
And that's exactly what I did last night. So,
okay. Right, you're on track. Yeah.
Well, Spider, we appreciate everything you do for us and for the game, and I look forward to seeing you soon, my friend.
Thanks, Brandon.
Yeah, Spider, thank you. We love talking to you and look forward to seeing you soon so we can play some golf together again. It'd be fun.
All right, boys, give me a buzz. I'll slip on down there.
You get well. Hey, I'm here to October 8th. If you want to swing down here, just let me know.
I will. I'll buzz you.
All right, Spider. Thanks, buddy. I appreciate it.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate being on the show. Appreciate what you do for the game.
Thank you.
Thanks, Spider.
All right. That was Spider Miller again. Great, great amateur career and Walker Cup captain, player. As we said, played U.S. Opens and Masters. And say to an amateur, Brendan, right, his entire career, never turned professional?
Never turned pro. Nope. Mm-mm.
I could have asked him when he was with us, but any reason that he didn't, just never felt like that was
he loves the game. I mean, he's Bobby Jones.
He's like a Bobby Jones. He really is, just to be around him. He's a purist. He's a golf historian, basically. He loves the game so much, the amateur game.
Well, think about being 49 years old playing on a Walker Cup.
Phew. Good Lord.
Yeah, with teenagers and
21 and kicking ass. Yeah, he's got no problem doing that. So
yeah. I really like him. I like his golf advice for me. You know,
he invited me down to play Seminole probably 5 years ago. I went down with Mike O'Connor, Deb O'Connor's husband from KitchenAid. And just had played with Jeff Overton.
Oh Lord,
him and
did you get it even close to Jeff when he drive it?
God, it was unbelievable.
He hits the ball forever.
But afterwards, he invited us to the clubhouse, and the locker room there is just amazing. Yeah. On the wall, they have like all the past champions of the events, and you have like Jackie Gleason and Billy Casper winning. It was just absolutely, and you know. Just the guys hanging out there.
We'll have to go down and get Spider to. He'll do it. I mean, we'll go play. It'll be fun.
Summer will be so sweet.
It's one of those things that
you don't ask. If you ask, I'm not going to ask.
Yeah. But no, don't have me ask.
Spider's
for
that
you.
Way. I'm not going to. Not even get close.
Hey, let's take
Tim can do it.
Let's take a break and we'll come back with Don Bostic from the Friars Club real quick.
Okay. You want to do that, Tim?
Sure. Yeah, let's do it. Well, Brendan just apparently said we were going to. So let's do it.
I guess.
It's good to be king.
Hey,
producer.
We got the band back together, boys, since we were at Medina, didn't we?
Absolutely.
Well, we had to bail Brendan out of jail first, but he got back, and now we're good to go. And Frank, you've got your advice, which apparently you're right on, and that's what's encouraging, that Spider said exactly what your instincts were, which is
drink
out of one.
Drink more.
So your golf instincts are right there. They're perfect.
Well.
All right, let's take a quick time out. We're going to return to French Lick Resort and talk a little bit more about what's going on there. You're listening to Golf Talk America, and we will return right after this. And welcome back to Golf Talk America. Tim Matthews in the Dallas studios with you, and Frank Bassett and Brendan Sweeney joining us from the French Lick Resort in French Lick, Indiana. And there's always something going on. Well, I say always. This is a weird year, but take away the 2020 bizarreness. There's always something going on at French Lick Resort, and the Friars are apparently having their way with French Lick Resort and having a great time there, and what better place to do it. And Brendan will introduce a guest that we have that's you can tell us exactly what you guys are doing there, what the Friars are going to be doing at French Lick, the place that I have always wanted to go to, Brendan, but have yet to get to. It would have been, that's another thing, we would have gone. We had a whole big event coming up right this summer, and it got COVID, if you will.
That would be the Senior LPGA Championship, yes.
Yes, and so I don't know, next year. We'll get it next year. But let us know, tell us what's going on there at French Lick this week.
Well, we've tried, as I said before, 2020 is a funky year, and we had to make some adjustments, and we lost a lot of business, but we picked up a lot of business. But we signed up a deal last year with the Friars Club, and they stuck to their commitment, and they're here, and we're hosting their championship starting tomorrow. And we have now Don Bostic, the Grand Poobah of the Friars Club.
Chief Carnage Officer of the Friars Club.
Yes, exactly.
Welcome to the show, Don.
Cat herder of the rich and famous of the Friars Club. So basically the Friars Club is a country club with no golf course.
That's right. What an idea, huh? So, yeah, I get to shepherd, you know, people all around the world to the best golf courses. We did Louisville right last night. You know, if you had 12 hours in Louisville, you know, we got the most out of it. We played Valhalla, and then we're up all night smoking cigars and drinking bourbon, eating fat steaks. So it was pretty good. But, you know, we're at French Lick today, and tell you what, to hell with Wingfoot. I mean, it's 71 degrees here.
Oh yeah,
blue skies. We're going to crown the champion Friar of the Year on Sunday. This is where I'd rather be.
Well, good. Glad you're here. And it's a great group. I mean, you got guys coming in from all around the country. Going to play the Dye course Friday, Ross course Saturday, Dye course Sunday, and then follow that up with a shootout. Tell us about the shootout. It's legendary.
Well, it's maybe more of a, excuse my French, but a shit show at the end. But,
we're good at doing that.
Yeah, we keep things pretty loose in our club, but this is our championship. So, you know, we do need to crown a champion, and it's a flighted club championship over three rounds. So this year, I think we have 11 flights of four, so we've got 44 competitors. Every flight winner will qualify for the shootout, and then we do some random, highest points that didn't get in, dead last. We let them in. Anybody that wants to pay us money or
call
bribe
us. DFL.
Yeah, DFL. We let them in, too. We accept bribes. So we'll probably have 15 or 16 people, and we'll just, you know, we go out. We start on a par 3, and, you know, depending on age or ability, you know, some may play it from 120, some may play it from 180, and there's no handicap. You got to make a par, and that'll eliminate, you know, basically everyone. Yeah, maybe two or three people will be left, and then, you know, then we go on to the next hole and just kind of that's it, you know, and whoever, you know, whoever wins, it's, you know, single elimination, and, you know, we're all there mocking them and making fun of them, and that's our champion,
whoever, Tim,
last man standing.
Tim, that sounds like our normal round, doesn't it?
It's perfect for me. Yeah.
Well, the way that you guys are both playing, I'll kick both your asses.
I don't know about that. I think I beat you yesterday.
Because I went triple-triple.
Well?
I counted my balls going out of bounds, unlike you.
No, that's not true. That is not true. I count my bad shots.
Absolutely. Well, hey, how did the Friars Club come about?
Yeah, so we've been around. It's, you know, it's a concept that's pretty popular in the UK, but here in the States, I would say it's a growing kind of a niche market. We've got maybe 10 or 12 quote unquote competitors, but we've been around the longest. This is our 26th year. It was founded in 1994. And it's, you know, it was a gentleman that founded it. It was kind of a business organization, but he, you know, he used golf to connect people. He's a lawyer, and it was people that, you know, people that he did business with, basically. And he kind of, you know, twisted their arm and made them join the club. And, you know, we've kind of ramped it up in the last 4 or 5 years, and to now, you know, we're doing 20 to 25 events a year. You know, we're at places like, you mentioned Medina earlier. We had 52 players there 2 weeks ago for a 2-day event, and you know we're at Calusa Pines. We're going overseas to Scotland and Ireland. We're at places like French Lick and the Greenbrier and Sea Island, and
take the show to Nashville. Go to Frank's Club.
That, why not? Yeah,
come on,
Nashville.
You can get in trouble in Nashville.
Yeah, well, that would be the fun part. I don't know much about Nashville golf, but I think the women and the drinking scene is pretty good, and the music.
Yeah, it's a little restricted right now. Downtown,
I understand,
but Nashville's a great place. We have Golf Club of Tennessee, which is great.
Sure,
Bluegrass is my club there.
Okay.
It's in Hendersonville, which is Nashville, but Bluegrass is where they used to play the Nashville Open.
I see.
And it's a tree-lined old school club.
Club Corp property.
Okay. It's Club Corp, our sponsor. Club Corp and French Lick is our sponsor, of course.
Got to get that in.
But Tim plays Prestonwood. It's one of those easy tracks in Dallas. You know.
I see. Oh yes. Yeah, I've heard. Yeah, I'm familiar.
Yes.
Now you reside in Pinehurst, so you're no slouch on that part.
Yeah,
either.
If you like golf, it's a pretty good place to live. I've been
no
there.
Kidding.
I've been there about coming up on 6 years. And Frank, you mentioned you're from Sawgrass. That's my hometown is Ponte Vedra Beach.
Oh, it is. Yeah. I lived there for almost 17 years.
There you go.
Number 5 fairway, 150 yard marker, west course of Sawgrass Country Club.
Oh, beautiful. I played that last week actually. Sawgrass Country Club. We did east west, and
that's the original. The south is the new one. East west.
Kicked my butt.
Was the wind blowing?
Of course it was.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's a tough, tough track. That's where they used to play the old TPC.
Yeah, Trevino won it there.
Yeah,
and,
Nicholas.
Yeah.
But they moved it across the street, of course, after Pete designed the TPC.
They got some nice digs over there now.
Ponte Vedra's a good
Don,
spot.
You said, Don, did you say that you're you live at Pinehurst?
I do, yes, sir.
And Pinehurst has got a U.S. Open coming in a few years, does it not?
They got a few of them. If you keep up with the news cycle last week.
2049.
Yeah, the USGA has always had a really tight relationship with Pinehurst. The tournament offices have been there for a while, but now, I mean, they're going to build, you know, a new golf house, which is the USGA Museum. And I think, I don't know if there's 5 or 6 U.S. Opens that have been planned all the way. The last one Brendan mentioned was 2049, so... Yeah, it's already kind of the unofficial home or, you know, one of the hubs in our game, and the spotlight is going to be on our little town for a while in the golf world,
well,
for sure.
We have a good little tie-in with Pinehurst here, in this building here that we're in. We're in the Taggart Mansion.
Okay.
Tom Taggart was the mayor of Indianapolis and the owner of the French Lick Resort back in the early teens, and he went down to Pinehurst in 1914 and knocked on Donald Ross's on his door.
Yeah.
And brought him up here. He commissioned him to come up here to build our Donald Ross golf course right down the street.
And then so. Walter Hagen won the PGA Championship in
17.
27?
No, 24.
24.
Yeah, the course opened in 17.
1924, yeah.
Absolutely. Well, cool, Don. I'm looking forward to a great week with you, man. I packed some extra liver pills. I know sunscreen and a hard liver is a good way to go through life if you're a friar. And this is my second year.
Yeah. We got you signed up, just twisted your arm to do some business. But
well, I got it.
Yeah, you did.
Bottom line is you're here.
Mission accomplished.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. Exactly. Well, cool. Let's have a great time this week, and I'll be your MC. I'll be your host. I'll be your marshal. And
oh, Lord.
It'll be fun.
Oh, Lord.
I'll be your Huckleberry.
I'll be your Huckleberry. I'll do it.
Tim, you got to come help me, man. Get on the plane and come on. Come
Seriously.
On.
Seriously.
Come bail me out of this carnage.
A great weekend for sports. We got the U.S. Open, we got football, we got basketball, we got hockey, and we have the Friars Club.
You got it.
Perfect. And a sports book to play it all in. Cool. Perfect.
All right, Don. Thanks so much for your time. We appreciate it.
Thanks, fellas.
Yeah, thanks, buddy. We appreciate it. So?
Hey, speaking of everything we have, I'm curious what you guys take it outside the golf realm here for a second. But we do have college football. NFL just started.
Big Ten, baby.
And this is probably more about Brennan and I being Midwestern guys.
Oops.
What do you think about the Big Ten? Yeah, was that a big oops there, Brennan?
Oh, shit. I know it was.
I can guarantee you one thing.
What?
The Indiana Hoosiers will not lose 10 games.
They will not.
They're only playing nine. That's right.
They're only playing seven.
I think Ole Miss has a chance this year. We have a new coach.
Yeah.
Lane Kiffin.
Yeah.
Lane Kiffin.
Good pedigree. Good pedigree. Sir. Guy's been around.
Yeah, I think. Well, you know what? If you look at towns like Madison, Wisconsin, Bloomington, Indiana, Iowa.
Champagne.
They need this.
No, they need this. You have 70,000 people coming
in. Who had the bright brain? Blah. Yeah. To say we're not going to play. They just came out at the start and said we're not going to play.
I think in all honesty, we're talking just 5 weeks ago or 6 weeks ago, they made the dramatic announcement. And I think that with all this COVID, what we have learned, if nothing else, is you have to be patient and kind of see things through a little bit. And I think they just jumped the gun and they were trying. And I think, in all honesty, the Big Ten thought, well, everybody's going to do the same thing. And so we're going to be kind of right there on board with everybody else, and it won't be when they suddenly became the outlier along with Pac-12, and everybody else is going, well, we're not going to do that. Then they're like, what do you mean you're not going to do?
What do you mean? What do you mean zero TV dollars?
Are we going to do this?
What do you mean zero TV dollars? That
and then the president, and that's
$60 million goes, to the University of Wisconsin. Louisville was set to lose $48 million. I mean, that affects everybody.
How do you recover from that? You can't.
You don't.
You can't.
You don't. And you can't.
Yeah. And I get it. Here's the other part about it, too. Without being insensitive, I understand it's deadly and there are people there. But at the same time, as we've seen, a lot of younger people are not susceptible. They're in the under 1% category. Yeah. So it's not like your players and your students, while they may get it, a lot of them are asymptomatic. And even the Clemson team, as you remember, when they went to camp about a month ago, suddenly they had 19 guys. Yeah. That got it, and that was the big headline. Well, nobody seemed to follow the headline, which was none of the 19 were symptomatic, and none of them went to the hospital.
Yeah.
So to say, okay, they had it, that means they were sick for a week, and then they got better, and everything was all right. That's what I think everybody has to stop panicking about, which is what the Big Ten, I think, learned.
The only way for people to stop panicking is turn the damn TV off.
Yeah.
Just turn it off and do things that make sense. Wash your damn hands. Do things that make sense.
Yeah,
wear a mask when you have to, but social distance.
Ohio State's got to be very happy about that because Ohio State has a loaded team and a national championship caliber team. They're the one of the three that voted, hey, we don't want to back out of this. But
Nebraska, Michigan,
the rest of them did, most of the rest of them did. So they canceled. Now they're back. And Big Ten, and Ohio State's going, okay, now we got a chance to win a national championship.
LSU, did you see the news out of LSU?
Bunch of them have go Tigers. Is that
what
you're saying?
Ed Orgeron, go Tigers. Yeah. The whole team's got it. The whole team.
But again, I don't know that's a big problem, and I don't mean that in a cold way. But again, young people are very, very.
Brendan's putting his mask on. Across from me.
He should have put it on at the beginning. We don't need to hear. I think it's going to be. I think it's going to be a good year for college football. At least we'll have some college football. It brings some normalcy to it, and that's what I like. Is you kind of start watching NFL games, and you're going, "Okay, here we are."
And before we go, Tim, the Deer in the Headlights Award goes to the post-game portrait picture of Tom Brady after he realizes, I'm in Tampa.
And I don't look an awful lot different than Jameis Winston.
Oh, yeah, right? Exactly. I mean,
two interceptions kind of goes with the job, doesn't it?
Long year for Tom.
And the coach threw him under the bus twice in the post-round press conference. That was unusual.
He threw some bad picks. He threw some bad picks. So, yeah, it's going to be a unique kind of a year for, I think, for all of us. By the way, some little congrats here to the Dallas Stars. Playing for the Stanley Cup Finals.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Stanley Cup. They're in there. Cheated first time in 20 years.
Cheaters.
Yeah.
Cheaters.
When Dino Cicerelli was leading the charge, right?
Yeah. No, they've been there since Dino, but it's been a while.
Dino Cicerelli.
It's good to see.
My Predators are going to come back. They're going to come back.
Yeah. But it's good to see sports back is kind of
it
our
is
point,
great
right?
to see
it's good
sports
to see.
Back.
Man, we got some normalcy here.
And you know what? Kudos. To two commissioners who have done yeoman's work for golf. I mean, absolutely. Michael Wand at the LPGA has done an incredible job because he is truly a world. That's
and,
a world
and
group.
And great banner placement.
Yes. Great banner placement. Yeah. Okay. But he's done a great. Michael Wand's done a great job. Jay Moynihan's done a fantastic job with golf and the PGA Tour. So our hats are off to both those guys.
Let the fans in, baby.
Yep, let the fans in, boys.
Yeah,
let's get them in there.
I think we saw Scottie Scheffler had to drop out of the U.S. Open because of COVID.
Mm-hmm. But Brendan Grace got in for him. So
I think he's the only one, though, is my point. So it's not like it's epidemic, and they've been back since when did they come back in June? Since their break. So yeah. I think they're doing a great job handling it and taking care of everybody, and not making it any worse than it is. So yeah, I think we're seeing that, and we're also seeing fans showing up at games. So I think. If fans can go to football games, college, NFL games, Cowboys have their home opener this weekend. I think they're expecting 25,000 at Jerry World, well below capacity, but 25,000 people will be there. So I think you can get some people.
The place is
going to
look empty.
That's wide open. Yeah, it will be. I know.
The place is going to look empty.
You know, golf courses are wide open. So you think the Masters would change their thinking on this? I mean, you still have a ways
to go
before
the
Masters.
I don't see that happening.
Why could you not have 10,000 people on a golf course like
Well,
Augusta.
if anybody could make it happen at the last minute, it would be the membership of Augusta National Golf Club. I mean, they can make things happen, but I just don't see that happening. I think the
plans
are in place.
We have like 2 months, don't we? Have basically about two months?
Well, yeah,
kind of. That's a long time.
A little less,
now.
But
well, yeah. Big Ten made a big change in less than 2 months. So all I'm saying is, it'd be nice to see some fans here. I think, and the reason I think Augusta would be perfect is because the fans, their patrons. At Augusta National,
correct.
Are well adverse to being told
Curtis.
What to do.
Yes.
And they do what they're told to do, and nobody gets out of line. So if they're told to wear a mask or to stand here or to walk, whatever, concessions to do it, they'll do it. I mean, you're not going to have
one of my favorite
rowdiness.
Masters Augusta stories when you found the hairdryer, Tim.
We're going to talk about that on the air.
Is that what we're calling it?
Yeah. don't even go there, boys.
I swear to God, I thought I was a hairdryer.
I thought that.
So I tell you what, if you could dry your hair with that thing, you're pretty
You're using it the wrong way.
Yeah. Okay. That's good. Let's play the music. Somebody play the music. Get us out of here. Get us out of here. Hey. Big thanks to Brendan Sweeney and all of the people here at the French Lick Resort, the West Baden Springs Hotel, the Donald Ross Course, the Pete Dye Course, the Tom Bendelow Course, the Valley Links, which is a fabulous
golf
course.
We're doing a shootout there this afternoon.
We are?
Yeah.
We are?
Yeah.
Let's go.
Much fun.
Yeah. So it's really, Brendan, thank you for your friendship. Most importantly, but also for your great sponsorship from
mostly,
day one.
Yeah. The free room and board.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mostly. Yeah. Mostly. Dinner last night. Brendan picked up dinner, which was great.
Let's say, you know, we're in contract renewal right now, so you can start kissing my ass whenever you want.
Started right
Barrett
there.
Duplin.
Yeah.
I'm puckered up and ready to go. Right. Anyway, no, thank you, buddy. We appreciate it. We love being up here. This place is just magical. It's gorgeous. The fog was in the valley this morning when we woke
cool.
up, and the course is above it, so you see the clouds below
55
you.
55 degrees this morning.
I know.
It's going to be in the 40s later on.
It's
going to
be in the 40s, but it gets up in the 70s every day, so it's perfect. Uh-oh. And the boss just walked in, so we probably unless you want to get the boss on for a minute.
No, we got to go.
Okay. Nobody could hear that.
Well, you got to go?
Yep.
Oh, we got to get out. Okay. Well, Tim, we got to get out of here. So
we're done. Okay. We're out of here.
I guess
hey,
we're done.
Thanks, everybody, for listening. As always, we do appreciate it. Every time you listen to our podcast, check us out on any of the applications that are out there that you can find a podcast. Listen to Golf Talk America. Tell your friends about it. We're setting records all over the place with people downloading our podcast and keep doing it. We do appreciate it. Thank you to Spider Miller for joining us and Don Bostic.
Don Bostic, ladies and gentlemen.
Yep. For Frank Bassett and Brendan Sweeney at the French Lick Resort, I'm Tim Matthews. Thanks again for being with us. And remember to join us next time right here on Golf Talk America.